This episode of Film Sack is brought to you in part by Shutterstock.com. At Shutterstock, you can find the perfect image or video for your next creative project. Whether it's for a website, a publication, an advertisement, a video, or any kind of project, you can choose from over 20 million high-quality stock photos, illustration, vectors, and video clips. Use FilmSack2 at checkout and receive 30% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com. And for 30% off all new accounts, use the code FilmSack2.
There must be some word. I want them all. I want all the warriors. I want them alive if possible, if not wasted. But I want them.
Come out to play, yay!
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to Film Sack, everyone. Welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack episode 150, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight, Brian, can you dig it, Dunaway?
Can you dig it? All right. Do you got the stuff? Do you mean the spray paint? Yes, yes. I ran down to the Sky City and got the stuff, idiot.
Wait. I don't know, I remember that part.
Is that you remember part? That when he asked him about it, he's all like, hey, man, you got the stuff?
Oh, and the guy early
pulls
on.
Out, pulls yeah, out, yeah. He pulls out a spray paint can right. And he goes, yeah, I got it.
I got the stuff.
The stuff.
I went to Home Depot.
Ticka, 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 ticka.
I got the stuff. Also, also with us, Randy, we're going to rain on you, Warriors, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Whew, I'm just back from the criminal conclave, and boy, did that go pear-shaped in the middle of a rousing speech by a guy who could only be heard by the 15 people closest to him. The Groucho Marx glasses-wearing gang honked an old-timey bicycle horn at the Flying Willenda's trapeze artist gang, who were offended because they claimed that's their routine, even though everyone knows that the bicycle horn honk was pioneered by the big-wheel glass-blower toddler amputee pony tattoo face Texas Hold'em gang back in the 60s. So a huge brawl started, and I was able to sneak out by blending in with the bearded lady gang who said, and I quote, no one takes us seriously anymore.
You basically described actual gangs in this movie. It's not that far off the pale there. Finally with us, join me in welcoming Brian. Come out and play, yay, Ibbot.
I think there's going to be quite a few quotes that get repeated a lot through this episode.
Yeah, probably.
Ah, those Central Park cops. They're always close enough to hear the whistle, but far enough that they have to drive to get there. Can you dig it?
The future dystopia that is New York during the Warriors' time. They never gave us a year, did they? Did they give us a year?
I think they actually did give a year. Did but
it seemed ambiguous, like they weren't trying to set a time. Like,
and honestly... You know. I never knew it was I thought it was supposed to be based in real time. I didn't realize it was supposed to be in some kind of future dystopian.
I had no idea. I just thought, oh, it's gangs.
Not red. Yeah.
I knew it was New York, you know.
I didn't know that either. Yeah. I didn't know that. I just imagined that these filmmakers are getting together right. Okay, we got a shitty script. We don't have any good actors. We have no idea where this is all going. We need to make this timeless, guys.
Yeah.
Timeless.
How do we do that? Well, that's we right. Make it seem like it's the future, or is it? Yeah. They kind of pulled it off in a weird way. And it kind of holds up in some strange ways. And in other ways, it sure as hell doesn't. So we'll get to all of that and more here with the Warriors in just a moment. But first, Scott Fletcher explains more.
The Warriors. A prominent New York City gang leader named Cyrus, played by Roger Hill, wants to wage an all-out battle against the police. And as part of his strategy, he calls upon Gotham's gangs to set aside their turf wars and come together at a summit. At a meeting, a rival leader kills Cyrus, but a Coney Island gang called the Warriors is wrongly blamed for Cyrus's death. Before you know it, the cops and every gangbanger in town is hot on the Warriors' trail.
Yes, indeed. That's pretty much it in a can. So
there's a lot of running in this movie.
Awful lot of credit given to the Cyrus guy there in that quote. Like, right. Called out the actor.
Like 3 minutes of 3 minutes of airtime, and
yeah, he was barely in the thing. Mm-hmm. First, before we get too far, anybody not see the Warriors ever until now?
Me.
Really? I saw it. Yeah, I saw it back in the 80s.
Did you see not theater, but like
I didn't see it in theater. But yeah, I think that was on TV. It was on TV. They used to play it a lot on Saturday afternoon TV.
You would have been like 6 or 7 for the theater. So yeah, that would have been too young for you, right, I would think, right, to go see the Warriors.
I don't know. That's pretty universal.
Yeah. Warriors. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. So the rest of us are coming a little bit green to it. And it's funny because I took a lot of, just mentioning that on Twitter gets you a lot of heat because people think the Warriors is such essential viewing that somehow me not seeing it before is egregious. And I'm a little surprised by that because this is not, well, first of all, I was young enough that there's no way my parents would have let me see this. And if it was ever on TV, I don't remember it. But I knew of it. I knew that there was a movie and it had these theme gangs in it.
Right, right.
But I didn't
talk about it. We talk about that on this show all the time. The, yes, the gang themes that permeate so many movies. And to me, this was
where you think it's the granddaddy. This is the big originator, the patient zero of theme gangs.
So for sure,
I think so. I think to the degree that we see how it's exaggerated, absolutely. Now, I don't think it's the first theme gang of any movie that we've ever seen.
Right? Isn't this preceded by things like Grease and
right? Right? Absolutely. But
Outsiders and.
Oh, yeah. Right. When is Outsiders?
Yeah, that's Grease, I guess, did have the Pink Ladies. Then they were a theme gang. Right. And I guess the Thunderbirds or whatever they were.
But this is the first one to
Grease Lightnings.
This is the first one to go full wholesale on just weird-ass gangs.
But Grease was like year previous, so technically these guys could have been in production right around the same time. What was the other one? Outsiders? Yeah.
Outsiders, yeah.
Outsiders seems like it's newer than this or later than this. Yeah, 83 was Outsiders.
It was.
So there was this.
I'm talking about like Grease the musical and the Outsiders the book.
Right. You
know, and those probably borrow from other works that we're just not familiar with.
Yeah, and the Sharks, you could argue the Sharks and the Jets are totally a theme gang.
But I guess it depends on what you're defining as a theme gang. Like I'm saying theme gang, not just wearing the same jacket like the Pink
colors.
Ladies in Grease the same colors. Thank you for the street lingo there. But okay, everybody has to use the same weapon.
Where's the Batman? Get it? Batman.
Yes. The baseball. I mean,
Furies, were they? Wasn't that
the
what
baseball
they were called?
Furies. Mm-hmm. I can't think about theme gangs in this movie without the baseball Furies being the perfect example of this.
If you could take Major League Baseball and just add a dash of Kiss, Paul Stanley in there.
Right.
You got your gang right there.
Exactly. You know. Just the fact that it's not just a, hey, you know, we've got to represent each other, the Sharks and the Jets and the Crips and the Bloods and the whatever, but we all have to use the same weapon. If you roll our sleeves up, we all have to roll our sleeves up.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't we go with guns? Why did we pick bats? Crap. Way out, man.
Yeah. But they had talking to people who thought this movie was a huge staple of their childhood, they felt like those were really menacing. Like when you saw this when you were a kid, I guess, seemed crazy and dystopian and whatever.
To the small degree that I wish I had a connection to this film, I totally envy them. I envy them because I really feel like if you see this movie 30 years ago, you're in a such better place with the film. Yeah, I think it's absolutely. You just haven't seen the following 30 years of significantly better cinema.
Yeah,
and it's does
well,
not
I don't
hold
know
up
about that. We've seeing seen it a lot of bad movies on film.
Just saying, seeing it for the first time in 2013, not a good idea. It's awful in that context. But when you've got that, you know, that memory of seeing it then, I can understand. I can understand people liking it.
Yeah, it's kind of my thing with Time Bandits. Time Bandits is a thing I saw when I was young enough to appreciate all of the you know, sort of the modern approaches to it that were modern then. But we've talked about this before. You go ahead 25, 30 years, and I'm not sure Time Bandits is all that great to somebody seeing it fresh. In fact, I think some of us on the show hadn't seen it and thought it was not that great. And I think this is probably the same thing. There are going to be a bunch of people out there who saw this when they were young and love it and revere it and are worried about what we're going to say about it. But I think I can actually, and Randy, I think I'm repeating what Randy just said, but I think you can actually get into the head of 1979 and we can live in that for about 2 hours, but still recognize that it's kind of shitty. It's not really that great, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's, and I don't think it's 100%. I don't think it's solid shitty.
Right.
I don't think it's runny solid shitty.
It's runny shitty.
I think that there's, I like that. The concept I love. I love movies where you've got somebody there in a far off place, and really the object of the game is to go home.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they're encountering all these, you know, obstacles and dangers and things like that. Adventures in babysitting, Judgment Night.
I know you're not competing this to Adventures in Babysitting, Ibbot.
No, but I mean,
that.
But that same concept of we're out here, we're trying to get home, and here are all these things in our way of getting home. I mean, even what's the one with Griffin Dunn that's so good? After Hours.
Lord of the Ring.
Right.
Yeah.
That is so
Lord
good.
Of the Rings, right.
Lord of the Rings. Well, no, that wasn't
home. I just want to get home. No. Mordor, they just want to get home. They want to get home.
All they talked about was the Shire. If we could just make it to Mordor, we can be back at the Shire.
The goal wasn't to get home. They're not like trying to get back to safety. They have a job to do. That's a different thing.
Yeah.
It's like the last five paragraphs of The Hobbit.
Right.
Just wants to go home.
One of the endings in the third movie.
Yeah.
But you know, as someone who loves comic books, you kind of see these as clusters of supervillains, you know, and your team is your superheroes, and they're trying to get back home. And you know, you got the Sinister Six coming. Of course, everybody's dressed as Dr. Octopus. Right. And then you got these guys, and everybody's dressed as the Green Goblin.
There's a game called Gotham. What was it called? Gotham City Somethings. Anyway, it was a shooter, and it was this. I don't know if it's free to play yet, but at the time, you had to pay for it, and it was like.
Paul gave us.
Yeah, what was that? I don't remember what it was called.
It was just Gotham City, wasn't
Gotham
it?
Gotham
was
City something. Gangs of Gotham or something. But anyway, what it was, is quite literally you would pick one side or the other. And the two sides were these gangs that had sprung up around Batman and the Joker.
Gotham City imposters.
Oh, imposters, Gotham that's City it. Imposters. And they would wear terrible Batman costumes and ugly Joker outfits because they were now a gang. And they have no powers. They have no secret identities. They have nothing.
Neither is Batman.
They just shoot each other. I mean, it's awesome. Like that kind of idea, I think is great. This movie gets at least that part of it done. And I like the idea that in post-apocalyptic New York, where there is no rule of any kind, everybody breaks up into tribes and tries to run the place. There's a lot of fun in that notion. So I got to thinking, how would you make it today? And here's my answer. Here's how you do it. Yeah. You have the tipsters. You have
hipsters. Yeah. No, not the hipsters.
The vegans.
Hipster gang.
You got the vegan gang. You got
the internet nerds are always hooked up.
Yeah, the iOS people. You have the Android people. Oh, you have like you just think of all of today's like things that separate people.
The businessmen.
Right. The businessmen.
Like, briefcases full of bricks that they just whack you with.
And right.
The one percenters that got their briefcase. You know, they're.
Yeah.
Right.
The juicers. They're not quite vegans. They're just trying to be healthier. You know, like, yeah, you could have all of these like stupid things that we think of today. You could break those out into individual gangs and you could have a pretty fun movie with it. No one's going to do this. And I kind of hope they don't. But it got me to thinking, you know, about what you'd do to remake this movie. I guess Tony Scott was in the middle of maybe doing this and then killed himself. So now that's not happening, at least not with him. So I don't know what he would have done. Like, how do you make? I'll throw it to you, Randy. How do you take the Warriors and remake it today? Make it feel relevant. Make it seem plausible. You know, with today's sensibilities and your 30 years of movies.
The ultimate source for this is the famous Greek Xenophon work, Anabasis. Anabasis is a story of a warrior and his army who have to get home by marching across all of Persia.
Wait, that's what we just watched.
The Persian Empire was huge at the time. And by the way, the warrior was named Cyrus in Anabasis. So anyway,
it's based on that, right? That's the whole deal.
It's clearly, clearly the source of it. And I love that story because we've seen some really awesome movies. And at least I mean awesome in scope and look, like 300.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really like to see Anabasis made just flat out, just go to that story and make it now with all of our tech and all of the.
So you're saying avoid trying to make it an allegory to modern day gangs or something like that. Just go straight to when he was a warrior during his time and make it a period piece.
Yes. I'd be down with that. This
is a horrible idea.
Brian really wants the gang.
No, I don't want the gangs. This is what I want. You ready?
What do you want? All
right. Ready for it?
Yep.
All right. We got some middle school kids, right?
Yeah.
Kids named Cyrus. They're trying to make it home. After school, they've got to get past all the bullies.
Okay.
Nickelodeon is going to sponsor this.
Are they theme bullies, though? Like, what are you going to do?
Of course they're theme bullies.
Aren't you, isn't Scott Pilgrim versus the World or whatever it is?
Shut up.
Isn't that basically the story again? Because they're all theme boyfriends.
Theme boyfriends?
Yeah, there's something that there's no traveling home or running away from anything in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, that's true. But
home is the relationship with what's her face?
Flim Flam. What's her name?
Yeah. I think anytime there is a lot of running in any movie is going to be entertaining. Like the Warriors. I mean, there's this constant
lots of running.
They're constantly running.
Yeah.
It's like, get a car, you big bunch of losers.
What's great is
or slow-moving bus.
Yeah, right. Indeed.
Exactly.
Some of those guys. You just brought up something that kind of bugged me about the movie. Why is public transit still doing so good and running and on time, despite the fact that it's all gangs all the time, no families, no normal people living in that town?
Well, the normal people just take the subway at 1 o'clock in the morning coming home from the opera. Just four of them.
Yeah. I forgot the couple in there. People.
Yeah, that was a prom. That wasn't the opera.
Well, whatever it is. How does that exist when everyone's a gang? There are no. I got the impression anyway that there's no business going on. Like
the majority of the road trip happens in the middle of the night, right? So you have that, and so most people are asleep. The whole film, I'm asking, hey, you guys, you know what you should do? You should just find a place to hide and sleep for 8 hours. And then continue your trek, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right. Because all that's going on in the middle of the night is gangs and police. That's all you got.
Or make your way to the radio station and cut their transmitter.
Yeah. Hey.
Whatever. All I'm doing is looking at Internet Movie Database, looking at Michael Beck's picture.
But then you can go stop Carmen Sandiego from her bad jive show that she's got going.
Let's get down to it, bumpers.
People are irritated with me and my feeling about her as a device in the movie, and I'm not sure exactly why people don't like it. I mean, I don't know, they feel some weird loyalty to her.
But again, try to put your mind in a time before the internet, before smartphones and all that. Like that was entertaining. It was something that people found reasonable to watch and listen to.
Right.
And now we're just like, that is this, can you imagine? Like, you would have to remake it with Twitter.
Right. Yep. It was the only way. I mean, it was one of the only ways that information could travel faster than the gang members themselves. You know, they had to get. Otherwise, it would be like, all right, let's send a messenger. Well, if the messenger can make it to the other gangs faster.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they'd say it in coded ways. No, you're talking about a thing I actually love. And I love movies where the radio becomes this thing. And I love it in like the Fallout universe. I love that there's some crappy, crusty station just barely making it through with a guy who's speaking in code, really. To pass messages around, or it's somebody talking about end of days, and it's some preacher man slamming on the table on some crappy old megaphone radio thing. That stuff's awesome, but here it was more. This was more interested in spinning the jive hits of the 70s, not conveying much information. I mean, yeah, there was information there, but the music was terrible, dude. Terrible. The best song in the movie is the last scene on the beach.
We must part ways.
What's that song, Johnson. Brian?
Joe Walsh is in the city.
In the city. Yeah. That worked.
Well, that
great.
Was different. That was a feature song over the credits. That's different than the music of the movie.
Yeah.
Played it. She played it as she the last request dedication to the Warriors for clearing their name.
Oh, that was.
I thought she played a lot of good songs.
All right. Here's something funny I noticed about Carmen Sandiego there at the end of the movie. early on in the movie, she was real calm, cool, and collected. And it's a close-up of her huge underbite, and it's just right up in her face, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And that's fine, and she looked like she was delivering her lines, and her lips are moving great and everything. But the last part where she says something, she's twitching, quivering, and shaking like a leaf. And I wonder if that got filmed first, and she was nervous. No. It was that kind of nervous.
I don't
that we
think
all do.
So. I think anybody twitches when you're 2 millimeters away from their face.
Well, but she didn't do it the rest of the movie. It was something I noticed because whenever I'm that close to somebody's face, I am all eyes. I just like look at all that weird.
Can you imagine
detail.
Seeing that at the theater? I mean, that was a lot of mouth.
Oh my gosh, dude. 72 millimeter freaking. Yowza. I didn't even think about that. But, you know, again, these were the days before, you know, surround any kind of sound that mostly not even stereo in those theaters. You just had like.
Right. One speaker.
Or two speakers that shared the same channel or whatever. You had like monochromatic sound. And I don't think it was until. Geez, I want to say even Star Wars was like that.
No, and we actually watched Noah's for them. We watched something not too long ago, and that was like one of the trivia spots. It was like it was the first stereo movie. What the crap was it?
Was Star Wars the first? Not first, but was Star Wars in stereo?
They focused a lot.
Star Wars definitely in stereo. Yeah, Star Wars.
Yes. It was, but they didn't. It was
Sensoround, but something like that. I mean, Sensoround's been around, and not Sensoround. Well, yeah, Sensoround's been around since the '50s. Like the kind of surround sound. That puts Lucas you in the movie.
Yeah. Lucas just focused on it a lot and brought it back.
Yeah.
Made it big.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. The original 70mm soundtrack for Star Wars has been long considered something of a holy grail. Fans in the series with dynamic range. It uses something called stereo something. Yeah, you're right, though. It was relatively innovative. Like, you didn't, every movie coming out in the 70s didn't have this.
No. Because no one was really focusing on the sound like Lucas was. He really he brought a full piece of entertainment.
Well, he had to. He couldn't hear with that weird waddle while flapping. It would alter sound, cause all kinds of problems. Hey, what's going on? Anyway,
can we get
back to the Warriors?
I want to get back to Scott admitting that when you're talking to him and you're really close because you're in tight quarters or there's a party or whatever and you have to get close to here, that he stares right into the pores on your nose.
I can't help it. I notice little weird. It's more about me. All right. I get it. But I see just little things and I don't, you know, I don't like extreme close-ups. Like this new brave world of HD and soon to be 4K and 8K televisions. Like, right. Do I really want to see what Carl Malden's ear hair looks like on an individual basis? No, I don't.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of sad about HD because people who don't need to wear heavy makeup are wearing heavy makeup on like the news and stuff.
Yeah.
HD makeup.
I don't see Brian. Mm. Like Brian Williams' nose is way more crooked than I ever thought it was when I see it in HD.
Right.
Yeah, he was who I was just thinking about.
And you hear like, Tom Brokaw.
I really like Scott Pelley, and the makeup they put on him sometimes is just a little too yellow.
Oh, I love Scott Pelley. And you're right. It is yellow. It looks like weird cake.
Looks like a Simpson or something.
He's a cake. Yeah, he's a Simpson. He's Kent Brockman. He's a cake. He's a big lemon cake. Anyway, directed by, my screen just went dead. Why? What happened? Oh, there we go. Directed by Walter Hill.
Hill directed this.
Yeah.
No relation to Roger Hill, who played Cyrus.
Yeah. You'd know Walter Hill from such films as, his producer credits are amazing. His director credits are, they're all right. He did Bullet to the Head, Deadwood episode. Did that Supernova show.
I didn't know that.
Last Man Standing. We did that. Remember that? He directed that.
I love that. Oh, yeah. Such a good movie.
Let's see what else he did that we have seen. Did we see Crossroads? No, we didn't. 48 Hours, Streets of Fire, Southern Comfort, Long Riders, another 48. So he did the sequel. Oh, Geronimo, an American Legend. So we know this guy.
Mm-hmm. Long Riders.
He's no stranger to us, but listen to his producing credits. This guy has done some serious stuff. So The Warriors was his first production as producer and director. And then he was producer on Alien. He was producer on Aliens, Alien 3. Bunch of Tales from the Crypt stuff on TV. His other movies, Alien Resurrection, producer, not that big a deal.
So he liked to back the horror.
Prometheus and the new Prometheus 2 in production. He's, you know, back on that. So I did a bunch of stuff with, what's his name? Scott? Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott. Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, kind of a cool dude. But it's funny because a lot of people online were telling me, oh, man, I love Walter Hill movies. They're the best movies. I love them. And I'm thinking, well, if you're talking about the ones he directed, there's nothing in here is like, oh, remember that?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they are talking about the ones he directed, though. You know, he was, in a way, he was the... Michael Bay of his time, you know, he was making films that people really enjoyed at the time.
Right.
It just, I can't name one that he directed that's held up really well.
Yeah. Let me think.
You know, like I remember loving Brewster's Millions, and I doubt I would like it now.
I don't know. We should try it. Me and you should try it.
Maybe, yeah. But Team Deluxe Away is going to have a Brewster's Millions watching party at Nerdtacular this year.
Bullet to the Head is the most recent film. Last year, this is that Stallone movie, and it didn't do well at all. People hated it. So there's that.
But I remember, you know, Last Man Standing is a lot closer to us, and it's 15 years newer. And I remember from that episode of Film Sack that there were a lot more things we liked about it than I think we liked about The Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so he got better, like everything. You know, I'm just saying, the further back you go, I don't even want to consider watching 48 Hours ever again.
Do you think that's why David Patrick Kelly showed up in or was in this, and then maybe those dudes are friends because he was in Last Man Standing as well?
Don't worry about it. We got a great buddy cop movie coming up.
Do we?
Yeah,
great. You said great. The word great.
I'll bet you David Patrick Kelly was in a bunch of Walter Hill films, because that's the way actors like that get more work than they
sure deserve. Annoying in this thing, but I really I like him normally quite a bit, but I thought he was just obnoxiously terrible in this.
Right.
We'll get to his clips later too, because I got some good ones of him. He says some stuff.
His first feature film, right? This is his first.
It
could have been an introducing credit.
I believe you're correct. David Patrick Kelly. Let's see. Mm-hmm. I know he didn't do K-Pax first. You're right. He played very first movie, 1979, The Warriors. He's memorable to us for lots of other things, but you're right. And, 48 and Brian, Hours, Commando, a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he was also in 48 Hours. So
worked with Walter Hill there too.
Who was he in Commando? Do you guys remember?
It was Sally. I told you I would kill you last.
Oh, right.
Oh,
okay.
Got it. I thought he was listening on his character.
He was also T-Bird in The Crow, if you'll recall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which we've also done. So David Patrick Kelly making a big push here for most featured actor in the film sack. No one's anywhere close, pretty I think, close. To Van Damme, yeah, but. Yeah.
But with The Crow and Commando and
The Warriors
and Last Man Standing. There's some potential.
Sure.
Well, I don't think we can pass up talking about Saul Urich for just a second. He died back just this past January.
Saul Urich.
He's the writer.
Oh, cool.
He wrote the book. Can you imagine reading the book, The Warriors?
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I would actually read that. Ooh, yeah.
That would be awesome. I wonder how long it is, because we should do a special Film Sack review book.
Book Sack.
Book
bag or something. I don't have a problem. I think that would be interesting to see what the differences are and see.
God, yeah. When you don't see the baseball furies walking around with their painted faces, and
I just can't imagine this book being more than like 100 pages.
It just came to me. If they do remake this movie, and it sounds like there's some interest, if they do make it again, it's not that they need to dial it back. And make it more like, okay, well, this makes more sense. They need to go all the way to the other side. They need to go complete.
Wacky.
Not unlike Scott Pilgrim. Just take it all the way and say theme gangs up the butt just everywhere.
Well, there's no way to do it then without it being a comedy or farce.
It would have to be farcical, but also kind of an, I'm trying to think of another good example of this, like Kick-Ass
Do you guys see Warm Bodies yet?
I did this weekend. I did.
Did you really?
Yeah,
that was
loved the first half, hated the second half.
That was a fantastic balance between a little bit of action, a little bit of farce, and a little bit. I think that kind of mix would be perfect
until the second half. Second half was
stupid. I don't know. I kind of like the second half.
It was terrible. We're starting a new podcast called Real Movies That Just Came Out. Sack and
right.
That movie had an awesome first half. Had a stupid half.
The Warriors paperback book is like 124 pages too long. It's like 24 pages total.
Well, that's funny.
Well, all I'm saying is, you know what I mean, though? Like, I'm trying to think of a better example of this, and it's not like Tim Burton Batman, or it's not, those aren't the things I mean. It's like they need to just be just self-aware of this world and just go with it. And I guess I am talking about Scott Pilgrim's just a good example of the way that movie was made. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make the movie like that. That movie was just full on aware of what it wanted to do, and it just went for it, and it took that video game slacker for sort of 2000s child motif and just took it into 2 hours, and it's great. They should do that with this. Just say, you know what, we're not going to shy away from this. They're not going to be real gangs. We're going to have Crips and Bloods running around here that all are serious. We're going to have guys with baseball bats and you know, Gene Simmons face.
I love the fact that immediately at the beginning of the story, I don't know if this is because of the book, the way it was written, immediately you take away all the guns, because it, you could have really, you could have really broke this down into a quick, violent movie, more so than it was, it, without with having the guns.
Who had so guns? Cops had guns, right?
Cops had guns, and
they all had guns, but they agreed the to come to the thing.
Yeah, the Lizzies had guns.
Lizzies.
The freaking Lizzies, dude. Subtle.
Yeah. But of course, Wormy dude had to use a gun to kill Cyrus, and it would have been more powerful had that been the only gun. In the
Can I have a trope alert?
Of course. Hold on. Ill prepared. Here you go.
If you're not living in a world where girls are always coming onto you, and suddenly they start coming onto you really strong, they're trying to kill you.
Right.
Yeah, right.
That's just a, like, that's the way it works in movies. It's a James Bond. A woman starts coming on to James Bond hardcore. The first thing he does is prepare to fire back.
Exactly. Yes. Right.
But Brian Ibbett makes a point. I think. Oh wait, I should probably play that.
You got
Brian makes a point. Where is it? Oh, I don't even know where it is.
Brian makes a point.
I think what you do is you give them knives. Those guns were kind of ruined a bit of it, because there was something unique about it. The one gun had gotten into the hands of David Patrick Kelly, and he used it for this terrible disruptive thing. And it, that just means a lot more if suddenly nobody has any guns otherwise. It's like a rarity.
Right. Right.
Let me tell you one thing. The detective work must be horrible in the dystopia future, because every single gang member.
It's like dysentery, dystopia.
Dysentery, dystopia, just whatever.
Hey, everyone. So happy to have Shutterstock.com sponsoring the show this fine day. What a great, cool company. I mean, if you're in a creative field like me, where you're always having to do different projects for different kinds of clients, whether they be video or website based or illustration based or a photograph or an edit to something that's already sort of existing, and you got to put your own sort of stamp on it. Why create everything from scratch? You can choose from over 20 million high quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips right from Shutterstock.com. One of the best things about them is they source their images from all around the world. They put them right at your fingertips. Many contributors to Shutterstock are professional photographers. They review each image individually for content and quality before ever adding them to their library. They add over 10,000 every day. So every time you visit, you're going to find something new. That's pretty much the way it is. Their iPad app is awesome. You can create a little portfolio right there just through the app and grab the images you want later. When you find these images you're looking for, you just save them to this Lightbox gallery. And you can access them from any place, anytime. And if you're in the middle of a meeting, it's like, boom, here it is. Check it out, everybody, right on my iPad. They're doing a complete offering, just about everything you'd ever need. And you can try it today for a free account. Just sign up. Go to Shutterstock.com. No credit card needed. Just start an account. Begin using Shutterstock to help you sort of imagine what your next project could look like. Save your assets. Find your new Lightbox, etc. Once you decide to purchase, use the offer code FILMSACK2. That's FILMSACK2. And all new accounts will receive 30% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com. And for 30% off all accounts, use their code FILMSACK2. We thank Shutterstock for their support of FILMSACK.
Terrible. And so the gang is apparently moronic, because every one of them hand touched the gun with their fingerprints as they passed it down the way. It's like, oh, make sure we get the whole gang busted.
That's right.
Here you go. Here.
And you're telling me the cops don't listen to Big Lips Radio? Seriously?
I guarantee.
Right?
I guarantee they do, yeah.
Big Lips Radio. That's horrible.
They know where Carmen Sandiego is. They listen to her every day. And I wish the cops would have been more like theme cops, in a way, kind of.
They were cop themed.
Well, they were, but it just felt like they felt out of place, because everybody else is like running around like this in the city that's got no life in it except for gang life. Then they just drive in from where? Buffalo? And they just, right. I mean, who? I assume there's an outer world that's doing okay, and they're part of that. They'd have to be, right?
But again, the cops only seem to work at 3 a.m. Where, like, how do all these cops go to work in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
And again, if so, why don't you crawl into a dumpster, take a nap? All the cops will eventually go home, you know?
Right. I'm telling you, remake this movie now. Go theme game. Do not be afraid of the theme games is the lesson here for filmmakers.
I like games.
Go for it. If you're going to do it, just go for it.
And do the cops really need to work undercover? Like,
right.
It's really that hard to find gangs. Like, oh, I'll just pose as a hot chick on a bus bench.
Yeah. Here's some good trivia for you.
Rule looking exactly the same age that she looks these days.
Oh yeah, totally. Isn't that weird?
True story.
Isn't it weird if you go pose on the bus bench and they happen to take a different sidewalk through Central Park?
Right.
Yeah. It just sucks, man. Oh, there. I see him 100 yards away. Oh, we picked the wrong bench.
Maybe
there's like 55 different secret agents. Right. All these different women on every bench.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a doing the Mercedes rule
all
thing.
Oh, just a whistle away.
Yeah, she hasn't changed a bit. She could just show up on an episode of freaking SVU on a Thursday night, and she looks identical.
Exactly the same.
That's really weird. Nobody else holds up like that.
No. We haven't talked about James Remar yet either, or Remar.
Is it Remar, Remar, Remar? He was Ajax, right?
He was Ajax. He was the one who kind of was buckling for control, wanted to control the gang at the very beginning.
He was a pervert.
And that's Dexter's dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which crazy. Is really like, weird. That's him. It doesn't look a thing like him.
No. He doesn't look at all like him, but you hear the voice and it's like, oh, wow, he had the same voice back then.
Yeah, it is weird to see that. You expect him to come in a dream and tell you why using your powers to kill people for good is a way to do it. Right. When the fictitious Turnbull ACs, that's another gang, visited a hamburger joint in actual New York to do filming, people all over that place fled in fear because they thought they were getting attacked by an actual gang. And here's the bit that cracked me up. This is apparently true, and I have nothing to prove this, but the homicides were a real Coney Island gang. These guys existed.
Nice.
And they didn't approve of the fictional gangs wearing colors on their turf.
Mother.
The wardrobe department made sure nobody walked off location wearing the Warriors colors. The actors were safe during the cemetery scene in Brooklyn because of a fence surrounding it. But otherwise, they were kind of in danger of like turf war because they showed up at a time where there were gangs called the Homicides.
Wow.
Which is kind of badass. Like, it's a simpler time, man. Like,
yeah, this is kind of like you don't want to make a movie about Somali pirates off the coast of Somalia. Right. You might want to make that movie somewhere else.
Right. And I don't think that homicides exist in any meaningful form anymore in New York or on Coney Island, I'm sure. And I kind of think that's a little sad. So in a way, we kind of had real theme gangs and they're not there anymore.
And by the way, if you're listening to this episode of the podcast and you are a member of a violent gang in a big city, shoot us an email.
Yeah,
we'd like to hear about it.
Yeah, filmsack@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you listen to this on your iPod or your iPad.
Or the one you picked up on the bus.
Right.
Let us know.
Send us a picture of your gang members all dressed alike.
Dearest Sackas.
I mean, I would love to be. Okay, remember that Jackson 5 costume that guy wore in the 80s where it was like four puppets and him in the middle?
Right, all connected by a couple of rods. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great to do a theme from like the Warriors and be the baseball guys and just have four puppets and you? How awesome would that be?
Somebody could do that and they would automatically win the Nurtacular 13.
Yes.
Bill Duran, we're looking at you, buddy.
Yeah.
Film trucks were protected by a gang, an actual gang. They were paying a gang called the Mongrels $500 a day to protect the film trucks while they were filming.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
1979.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Tony Danza was offered the lead role. He chose the series Taxi. And he said, nope.
They didn't want to change his name from Swan to Tony.
But it says Swan in the book. I don't care. This is Tony Danza.
I only played Tony.
That's it.
Right.
And let's see. Finally, what else? Oh, this is my favorite trivia. You'll love this one, Randy. During the opening credits of the TV version of the show.
Wait,
because it's different than what we saw. Okay.
Right.
So apparently
that all
changed.
The TV edit of the film.
Correct. The credits are totally different than the beginning. There is a knife that is thrown into the board, some board in the opening credits that we didn't get to see it, but it's off camera. So you don't see who threw it. It was thrown by a young Penn Jillette.
Awesome.
Really?
Because he's Penn Jillette, a knife.
That's great trivia.
He's a knife chucking master.
And Penn Jillette has told this story multiple times.
Yeah.
In particular on his radio show, his short radio show he used to have. He told this story about being hired to go throw a knife and not being actually ever seen on camera.
I think that's just great.
Radio show. That's like one of those podcasts that only a select group of people in a certain area can listen to, right?
Right.
No. He had a real radio.
In your face, radio.
When iTunes was first getting popular, he was one of the first people that was putting up every day's episode on iTunes as a podcast.
He just quit doing it.
And it's actually still, the whole thing is still out there. There's this... 123 episodes of Penn Radio is what it was called.
Way to take my snarky sarcasm.
I like it.
My Michael Beck has to be the pick of the week for
me. Who's your picture of the week here?
He's really not Walter Hill. No, look at Michael Beck. How much teeth is that?
Hold on, Michael Beck. Where are we looking here?
He's the very first actor.
It's an old photo too. You know who he looks like there? He looks like
Adam Sandberg.
No, yeah, Andy Sandberg. Yeah,
yeah. Or oh God, what's Julie Louise Dreyfus's husband's name? Hall.
Brad Hall. Yeah. Especially now, that looks like his current day Brad Hall Weird. Anyway, I saw him on something recently. Oh no, it was the whole cast reunited to be in the horrible video game. The video game had so much potential.
Oh yeah,
they blew it. But him and the whole cast, they all lined up.
Yeah, you know how you do the Warriors as a video game? You make it a real time strategy, and you can, you know, basically it's like StarCraft, but you're picking. You know, instead of Protoss, instead of Zerg, you're picking which gang you want to be.
The Baseball Furies. What's their big melee unit? I don't know, but I got them at range. Oh, no, they are the melee unit. What am I saying?
Exactly.
Even if all you had to do was split it up into three factions, you just assigned the Baseball Furies to one of them.
This is the Warriors' every fight. Run, run, run. Get tired of that shit. Stop. Kick everybody's ass.
Grab the girl by the arm and drag her off.
All right, I like the Warriors more now that we're talking about it. Because this part of it is just really fun and goofy. That's what I'm saying. You could make a new movie, or better yet, somebody make a TV show. I want episodic adventures of the Warriors. Mm-hmm. I would watch that. I don't think it would last. But.
Every episode focuses on a different warrior or a different gang that's just trying to get home.
Yeah.
Right. I love it.
To the little corner of New York. Yeah.
Right.
What's up with the video quality on Netflix? That looked amazing. Jeez. That's the other thing. Woo. Great conversion. I don't know if that thing just got remastered or something, but.
It actually did. There was just a recent remastering that was released with the Ultimate Director's Cut, both on Blu-ray and DVD recently. So maybe they did the same.
I wonder what we saw. Transfer. Maybe we saw one of those or something.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the
credits
is.
We saw, I guess, make it unique. There's something about, since I haven't seen both, I can't make the comparison, but there's something about the credits that's supposed to be, well, first of all, there's no Penn Jillette knife.
Right.
In this one, which seems a shame, if you ask me.
The shame to me was that I came into this film and there was only one thing I knew about it, and that is that it has one of the most famous bits of singing dialogue of all time. Mm. And I've heard David Patrick Kelly in doing that little thing, sitting in the front of that car so many times over decades. Mm-hmm. And it's even in, like, just recently, I was looking at a list of famous movie lines that were ad-libbed, and it was like number one. David Patrick Kelly just made this up on the spot. He decided to do this. And there's so many YouTube videos of him, you know, doing this. And I was really, I was actually kind of disappointed when I finally got to that scene in the film. And they finally come face to face, well, kind of face to face with him, and he's performing the same. Where are you? I was just
a little bit of a letdown.
It wasn't as scary, and there wasn't as big a risk to them. Like they'd already been shot at and fought so much that I needed him to have like a nuclear warhead or something.
Well, Scott Fletcher did a couple of versions of this. I'm going to play for you guys. You can hear him here. So here's his first one.
Warriors, come out to play. Yay.
All right. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But then he added a little bit of little Foley work to it. And see if this sounds familiar.
Warriors, come out to play. Yay.
Smacking the beer bottles.
Yeah, it sounds like he's got a tap in a wine glass with his dick. Right.
It sounds like he's asking the Warriors to shut up so he can give a speech in a restaurant.
He's going to make a toast. Can we keep it? Can everyone quiet down?
Can I get a refill on my Merlot?
That's awesome. All right. What else? Oh, okay, I wanted to give you guys some of the actual names of some of the alternate gangs in the movie. Okay. Just for funsies here.
They had real names?
Oh, yeah. These are actual gangs represented in the film. A couple of them didn't make it into the final cut, but they were all originally in the film. The Alley Cats, the Amsterdam All-Stars, the Baseball Furies, which you've seen.
Amsterdam All-Stars.
the Black Hands. You know what this is? This is like some weird farm league baseball team sounding a bunch of names.
Right.
Like this is the UFL or some other weird.
I like the
arena football.
Yeah.
One of the things that crossed my mind while watching this film early on was I hope they actually have a gang that is based on the musical Cats. Because I would love to see like this gang of like the Jellicle Cats.
Tom Tuggers or whatever.
So when you just said Alley Cats, I thought, wow, maybe they did. Maybe
that's what it was. There were the Charlemagnes. I bet they got beat up a lot. The Colt 45s. The Dealers, the Delaney Rovers, the Dingoes, the E Street Shufflers,
the
Easy Aces, the Electric Eliminators, the 8th Avenue Apaches, the Fastballs, the Gladiators, the Go-Hards, dude. That's awesome.
I don't remember seeing that many gangs.
No, there weren't. Well, supposedly they were in that huge, like it was, they were all listed out in that huge group. Yeah. There were the Hucks, the Howitzers, the Judah Bunch, whatever that is, the Nickel Steaks.
What about the Grandma Cry Wrist?
The Nickel Steaks is pretty good.
It's one of those Las Vegas gangs.
This is making my greeting seem way less silly.
The Zodiacs, the Zulus, the Shanghai Sultans. It's seriously, it's XFL teams is what this is. The Punks. They were in that. We saw the Punks. Right. Let's see. 9th Avenue Razors, a couple more. The Meat Packers, the Magicians, the Locos.
The Meat Packers guy.
The brother gang to the Lizzies.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Hoplites, and my favorite, probably the Fire Tasters. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Yeah. 5th Street Bombers. Anyway, there's a bunch of them, and you can find that list online. That's where I got it. A couple of things I really liked. I thought the fights were silly, but kind of violent.
Except for the one with the orphans.
Oh, right.
It was like, okay, bomb the car, run.
Right.
Run.
The orphans were, that's a terrible gang. They all just seemed like they were malnourished and needed a hug. They weren't like a very good gang.
Because they were literally orphans.
Who were the gang? What was the gang that wore the overalls?
The Come On Eileen gang. I love those guys.
Yes, the Texas Midnight Runners.
Yeah.
That's the only name for them.
Yeah.
That's it.
The Mime Gang, which I saw briefly. I saw those guys.
I like the pimp guys. So all the gangs have the full representation of the Hispanic, white, black, et cetera, except for the pimp gang you see at the beginning going through the bus station because with the purple vests and everything because no white guy could pull off that outfit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I love the wheels on the bus. Go round and round, gang.
They were pretty good. So my biggest, I guess to sort of sum things up for me, my biggest complaint was my biggest disappointment, because I think there's a lot of potential for a lot of fun to be had here. The biggest disappointment for me was there really wasn't a lot of cool stuff going on. There was a whole lot of walking around and looking at stuff.
Right.
This movie didn't feature what I thought it would feature, which is constant gang clashes, a lot more fights, a lot more action. Right. Instead, it was just a lot of, well, that girl's bra's not on, and like I don't know.
Not wearing that
was
anything
the,
under it.
That was the two coats for comfort girl, right?
Yes,
was
it exactly? Yeah.
Oh, that's who she is.
Hung out with Monroe.
That's Monroe. Wait, that's the guy from the
Hollywood Squares.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
What's his name?
JMJ Bullock.
Oh, Jim J. Bullock. That's it.
Jim J. Bullock, but he spells Jim without an I, so it's Jim.
Ask your uncle that never comes over.
It really is the coolest thing.
That's really weird. But you know what I'm saying, though? Didn't it feel like we were just pandering or just not doing anything? There wasn't a lot happening, and that disappointed me because what's the point?
It could have made this really grand point about how everywhere you go in all of these other rival gangs' turf, it's still the kind of the same thing. There's nothing different there. You know, like these guys could have sort of learned a lesson. Like our turf is just turf, just like theirs.
Yeah,
but instead it's just these long lingering shots of streets and buildings and subways and, you know, and then suddenly they're being chased by a bunch of people in a bus and somehow human beings who run 5 to 10 miles an hour are outrunning a bus that clearly could go 15 to 25 miles an hour.
I don't know, man. There's like 60 dudes on that bus. And I'll tell you, man, that I could not be intimidated by the bus gang. I am sorry. I tried to be. They were too lazy to get out of the bus. They just kind of sit in the bus and yelled at you. It was
the bus can only go a maximum of 3 miles an hour, so it's not an asset.
They were hilarious.
Yeah. Well, it's all well and good until someone pokes their eye out. Let's get to some clips. We got a bunch here. Let's start with a couple of these. How about this one? right here.
You never know what you're going to run into out there. If we're wearing our colors, we can't hide.
Who wants to hide?
Who wants to hide, man?
Who wants to hide? Yeah. Let's kick some tail.
Yeah, that's a lot of... They did a lot of jive talk in this movie, which is great. I know it's just a sign of the times, but also F-bombs didn't have the impact I thought they would. They were kind of weirdly flaccid use of the F-word.
They were, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which that's a good description of it too.
Don't know what that means, but let's see. I don't know what this is.
Maybe we'll get to waste a few heads along the way.
I did enjoy that opening montage because there were a lot of just smack talking, gang
trash
talking.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I loved it.
That was fun. I assume that wasn't in the other intro. I really kind of want to see that. Maybe I can on YouTube.
Yeah. So the YouTube. Right. So the other. Did we already talk about the other? The remastered version has
what? No.
It's got an intro that compares the adventure, kind of like what Randy was talking about, the classic Greek story is based upon, and also some short comic book style transitions, 1 to 3 seconds long, inserted between some scenes.
Oh.
Hey, did you guys notice the Star Wars wipes?
Yes.
Yeah, those are
totally
good.
Totally, yeah.
Those are good.
That was nice.
Those are great, yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah, I kept expecting to swipe through a desert planet with droids just any second.
And it'd be, you'd have like, ooh, teeny, and people shocking droids.
Right. And then, yeah, I didn't see any of that.
Wow, I'm not sure what was that part? That, oh, you're doing a sand person.
Yeah.
Or, those guys.
Yeah, that's them.
Ooh, Lulu. Pretty good. Here's a little bit of already play this
one? Maybe we'll get to waste a few heads along
I did
the way.
That one already. All right, how about the
waste a few heads?
I love the again different era, so you don't get this much anymore. But here's Ajax.
I wouldn't mind laying a little something down on the way back.
You got a one track brain, you know that.
What's the matter? You going faggot?
Whoa!
Yeah, you can say that. 1979.
Every time they said that, that wasn't the only time they said that.
No, they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Every time they said that, I was just taken completely out of place.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking about the internet.
Yeah, it's like an N word or something. Let's see. How about this one?
We got the streets, suckers.
Love it.
His whole speech. I mean, you could just listen to that thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
We got the streets, suckers. I mean, he was supposed to be kind of a glowing
the Malcolm X of the gangs.
Yeah. Like this guy would unify everybody and
right
and whatever. And then along came Neil Patrick Harris or whatever his name is. Patrick Kelly Michael.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Shot everybody.
Doogie Howser, yeah, came right in there.
And that's not even the right show. All right. That's Saint Elsewhere. What am I doing? Let's play this one. Oh, 70s gun blast sound. I swear all of the 70s had this. There it is. And listen to that. It trails off. Oh, it's so much more dramatic when you do it that way.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it really sounds, too, when you get shot.
Whew. All right, here's more.
I was hauling ass.
That just made me laugh.
I was hauling ass.
I just love all the... Honestly, it's the jive. Okay, so if you watch Airplane now, and they have the jive talking dude.
Yeah.
Right.
I love that. Like, there aren't enough movies where that was the
78?
Thing. Right. When was that? So it's like seeing New Jack City or something in the 90s where it's like, okay, this is the gangster era rapper version of the stereotype that they're going to push on us in movies. Back then, that is what you had, is this kind of guy.
I was hauling ass.
And they get off the street suckers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, I freaking love it. All right. Here's another one that will make Randy think of the internet.
He's right. We're acting like faggots.
There you go.
So, and what I realize is that you can take almost pretty much any quote from this movie and imagine it as a YouTube comment.
Whoa. That's not hard to do now that you say that.
Wow. That should have been my Twitter post.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You still have time. All right, here's the dude from K-Pax.
We're set all right. Somebody should pick their ass up. The Riff sent out the word. They want him alive.
Okay. Thank you, Neil Patrick Kelly, right? What's his name?
You got it. You got it.
David.
Yes, you got it.
David
Patrick,
Patrick
Kelly.
Kelly.
David right. Patrick, three stupid.
I love three name people. Right. All right. Nine guys, no weapons.
We're going in there like everybody else. Nine guys, no weapon.
Let's hear that.
There's every other gang is nine guys, like baseball or something. They've got only can have nine in the game.
Yeah. Just like baseball. Yep. That's exactly right,
is
Brian.
That, is that baseball? Yeah. So, but they have nine people in baseball. Is that how you do that?
Here's a nice
thing of basketball.
No,
or
wait,
is that
nine?
Tennis? Maybe it's tennis. I'm thinking.
That's eight. Isn't that? Oh, that was eight. Men out.
Eight men out.
Oh my God.
Eight men out. Oh yeah.
Isn't it eight in baseball?
It is eight. Yeah.
No. But that's illegal. Don't you get penalized?
Or is it just eight that got in trouble? It was just the eight that got
one
in trouble.
One guy wasn't out.
Right. Shoeless Joe Jackson. He passed a ball around with Waterworld man. Remember?
Everybody right now is typing into Google as fast as they can, trying to figure this out.
No, they're
not. What out?
Because most of them know more. No. Listen, more people know about baseball than me and the two Bryans combined.
Promise you, a baseball team is 9 players, and that's probably where they took this number from.
Right.
And they hit a ball.
And then they had a bunch of baseball.
If you get a touchdown, you get.
So I get it. Everybody, all these gangs were actually baseball teams before. For the tragedy that happened
before the right.
What was the tragedy? What do you think happened there?
Gang violence starts young in Little League.
Well, then I didn't see Tom Hanks in any of those.
What? Oh, from League of Their Own.
Right, the Lizzies. I figured Tom Hanks would have been there for that.
That's where the Lizzies came from. The Lesbians. All right. Let's move on to, I don't know.
Did you just get that now?
you said something about everybody running a lot.
And I'm sick of this running crap.
There you go.
He was constantly saying that too. Yeah, no, it's right. I was like, me too. Stop it.
Sick of this running crap. I'm used to taking the train. Mm-hmm. Here you go. This is supposed to be a girl, by the way. So here you go. Clearly not her right. doing that.
Yes. Not her.
That bugged me so bad.
Really?
That I had to cap it. Yeah. It's annoying. It's a girl with no bra on over there trying to make a chicken sound.
Deborah Van Valkenburg.
And listen. That is not her, dude.
I don't even know if that's a human.
It's not her.
It might actually just be a real live chicken that they captured for this.
It was a dude. I think they got Dexter's dad to do it for free in post.
Now listen, Dexter. We have a code.
Yeah. Listen. Don't kill him.
So what got left on the editing room floor then? Her chicken, was it just that bad?
Bok, bok, bok.
Bok, 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 bok.
She didn't like the Bluth family. Bok, bok, yeah. Bok. Yeah. It was like that Arrested Development where nobody could make a chicken noise.
Oh, God.
Oh, we love that episode so much in our house.
We got a connection next movie for that too, by the way.
Yeah, we do. You're right, mm-hmm. We do. All right, here's this.
They're not on our network.
I don't know why I did that.
Not on our network.
Love the whiny dude.
How much longer we gotta wait? We might be here forever. I'm sick of waiting for trains.
This guy's like one of the Welcome Back Cotter kids.
Right, yeah. Totally. The Bill Paxton and Aliens.
One of the sweat hogs right there.
Well, yeah, Bill Paxton and Aliens, a good comparison. I think your movies kind of all have to have that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every gang did too, I think. Let's
see. Killed out here, man. Game over.
One of the famous lines from the movie delivered by Dexter's dad.
I'll shove that bat up your ass and turn you into a popsicle.
You can kind of hear him there.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like him, though.
No.
He looked like he's Raisin Man now. I don't remember this.
Hiya.
Oh, yeah. I want to know what you guys think she's saying here.
Hiya, right?
Hiya.
Is it Hiya?
Who's saying that?
She's karate chopping him.
One of the lesbians. They're the Lizzies.
Oh, yeah.
He walked up and they walked past and she goes,
Hiya.
Hiya. Hiya. You make love long time? Hiya.
You're thinking of Full Metal Jacket there.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
That movie still disturbs me every time I see it.
I just don't understand why, once they've got all the guys in the room, all the guys are comfortable, mm-hmm. why they just don't start shooting. Just pull a gun out and start shooting.
Exactly. No, let's dance with each other for a while. Let's see how long it takes them to get it.
Did you guys see? Sorry, you made me think of a question here, Brian. If you guys had to pick a movie, you don't have to even say why, but is there a movie that you saw between the ages of, let's say, 17 and now that really disturbed you, even though you kind of saw it with a more mature brain? Not like an 8-year-old who saw some terrible movie like The Exorcist or something, but when you were like a normal developing adult. For me, it's Full Metal Jacket. To this day.
Disturbed you.
Yeah, still disturbs me.
Absolutely.
Found that movie to be shocking, terrible.
The beatdown? Yeah, the beatdown was terrible.
I gotta look and see what the name of this movie is. It's got Peter Coyote in it.
I love Peter Coyote.
Yeah.
He narrates a bunch of stuff. Yeah, good guy. He narrates a lot of the really good newer Ken Burns documentaries, which is weird, but anyway.
Yeah, he plays like a guy confined to a wheelchair, and
4th of July.
No,
that's my go-to.
Falls
that's
in
my
love move. In this. Oh, Bitter Moon.
Bitter Moon. Don't know what
Bitter
that is.
Moon. It's came out in 1992. Had a bunch of famous people in it. Let's see here: Hugh Grant, Kristen Scott Thomas, Emmanuel Singer. Well, okay, maybe not Emmanuel Singer, but Hugh Grant, Kristen Scott Thomas, Peter Coyote. Just looking through the list here. It was really good. I mean, but it really disturbed
just
me.
Just left a mark on you.
Yeah, I mean, this guy falls in love and is confined to a wheelchair and then basically has to watch while his girlfriend cavorts around with other men.
Ew.
Oh, okay.
That's disturbing.
I'm going to ask it.
Did he ever once say, and so it was only then that they moved west into a new part of the country. It wasn't like a Ken Burns thing. All right.
Yeah, no.
All right. For Brian or Randy?
For me, what just came to mind for some reason is Training Day.
Oh, yeah. Training Day's a little rough. Yeah.
There's a scene where Ethan Hawke gets left to be killed in a ghetto apartment.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And it just like it's depicted so frighteningly. Like it's just you're so right up in his terror.
Yeah.
And he is actually, kind of mystified at why he's so afraid, but that stuck with me.
That's an Antoine Fuqua movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Replacement Killers. Ooh.
Oh.
Sorry. Dunaway, you have a movie like that?
Absolutely. Misery, The Hobbling. I still think about that almost every day.
Oh, yeah.
Where she waxes feet.
Where she hobbles him. That's just like the most impacting crap for some reason.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Yeah, to be able to inflict that sort of damage on another person who's helpless, like
that's terrible.
I mean, putting a 2x4 between somebody's shins and basically whack. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's rough. But it's funny. I feel that somehow Full Metal Jacket prepared me for these other examples you've all mentioned. Like I saw that, and then when I saw these, I was more desensitized because of Full Metal Jacket.
Right, I think I would have been freaked out by The Crying Game if I'd have actually seen it before everybody started making fun of it.
Yeah, well, I made the grand mistake of seeing Stargate the movie before I saw that, and so for me it was like Ra. I already know who Ra is, and I already know he's a dude.
Right.
So it just. That almost had no impact. It just made me laugh.
Why is that dude playing a chick?
Yeah, no.
What's up? Get it.
And then he's like, oh, well, of course he has a wiener. What are you guys all surprised about? Of course it's all taped up there like some kind of weird home improvement thing.
Home improvement.
All right. Well, here's another one of these here.
Maybe all of you just go and faggot.
Third time. Mm. There. I'll just quit playing those now.
Oh, Dexter's dad. What's your code?
Jeez, Dexter's dad. You have any social boundaries there, buddy? Mm. All right, the chick. What? I don't remember this.
Shit, the chicks are packed. The chicks are packed.
Yeah, the chicks are packed.
The chicks are packed.
So packing, I've heard. Like if you're packing heat.
Yeah.
I haven't heard the term packed. Oh, they're packed.
The chicks are packed. I've heard chicks are stacked.
Yeah, right. It's a whole different thing.
I hear they're packing. And I hear that they're. That's it.
When you're in a gang, you ain't got time for using full sentences. You gotta read.
You only got time to make up stuff that no one's heard before, right? Got it.
What do you mean they're packed? What does that mean?
Here is the most annoying thing in the movie.
Warriors, come out to play.
And repeat that about 12 times. And
right. It's that irritating bottle noise. Gina looked up and was like, what is that irritating noise?
Right.
And it for some reason, hearing it and not seeing it, it has a very specific spot to me. Like, to recreate that, I would go get those little bottles of tonic water, you know, Schweppes tonic water. Mm-hmm. And I just know I could make that exact sound. And that's so I imagine he's sitting in the car having a G&T.
And drive your family from house and home. He's like, we can't live with Randy anymore. He's doing that thing with the bottles. Yep. All right, here's even worse, I think.
Warriors! Come out to play!
Higher and higher.
All
I
right.
take it all back. I love this movie.
All right, a little bit worse. This is a little bit worse. It's a little bit.
Goes all right. Up a little bit.
And then some great screaming, and that'll end our clips. Here's some of the best screaming in this film.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. That's
him being turned into a popsicle as we leave the
How do fitty gang members with shades and black shirts get all the way across town faster than the Warriors do all night?
Right.
Well, once it's daytime, they have cars.
That's right. But whose car did they all sit in the same car? I mean, because there was no cars. They didn't all come. Did they catch a ride with the wheels and the bus gang? How did they get there?
Yeah, the wheels. No, because that would have taken even longer than all night.
Well, let me paint a picture for you real quick. Daddy, what's a poop feel like coming out sideways?
All right. Wow. Thanks for that.
You betcha. Yeah, thank you. Betcha.
All right. Let's talk. Hey, can we really quickly talk about Pop Will Eat Itself?
Of course.
If we don't, we get emails about it. So Pop Will Eat Itself came out with a song called Can You Dig It?
Yeah.
And I heard this song years before I even knew that it was connected to the Warriors. Like, this is my first viewing the Warriors, but I'd heard all the clips, the popular clips from the movie and the song. You've got a – I hear you have a clip of it.
I might have a clip here. Let's take a look. Yes. You hear about this? All right. Here is – that was my Jay Leno, everybody.
That's here, well done.
Here is my You Can Dig It from Pop Elite Itself. We'll just listen to the top part here and see what
Okay, let's get down to it, boppers.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I'm gonna skip that.
So a lot of listeners are probably familiar with this.
We like the music. We like the disco sound. Hey, we like the music. We like the disco sound.
How old is this song?
Oh, you jumped right over the...
Oh, I didn't mean to. Is that where the thing is here?
Yeah. Hey, disco sound. Yeah. But I
can't... Yeah. Can you dig it? All right, sorry.
In the late 80s.
Late 80s?
86, 88, actually.
Wow.
On the album called This Is the Day, This Is the Hour, This Is This by Pop Will Eat Itself.
So about 9 years after, 8 years after the movie.
Movie, yeah.
All right. There you have it.
There you have
nice.
It.
Nice. Little musical connection there, I like.
Sure,
it.
Sure.
All right. Let's move on to our awards. This film has won a number of awards, and I'm here to announce them. Right here before the red carpet, the most changed looked actor today goes to Ajax. Mm-hmm. He do not look like his former self. He looks fine. That's the thing. He looks cool now. He looks like a cool old dude, but he does not look like Ajax at all.
No.
Best theme game for me was the was the hockey sticks guys versus the baseball dudes. I thought those guys looked great. They never really got into the hockey stick guys very much.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest argument we've had for a bra in a film in a long time award. just weirded me out.
It was late 70s.
It was.
Yeah. Go back and watch Star Wars with an eye for that.
Gross.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Man, Mark Hamill with his breasts, it's rough. Star Trek connections this week. We got three of them. Tommy J. Huff, he was a punk in the punk gang. Stunt double for DeForest Kelly in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, and Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, all stunt doubles for DeForest Kelly for some reason. He must have had real skinny legs. John Gibson, rest his soul. John Gibson, Baseball Fury, he was one of the Baseball Furies, played one of Khan's henchmen in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And Gary Baxley, who was also in the punk game on TNG, played Ensign Thorne in the episode In Theory. He was also a stuntman in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, and Star Trek Insurrection. That was the one with the peeled-off faces.
Oh, yeah.
The soundtrack grade this week, I would give it an M for a mixed bag. I thought there were some cool moments and interesting ways of using music to add to the tension, but also kind of terrible stuff, too. So kind of mixed for me.
I thought the music, the actual soundtrack was actually pretty dang good.
It was all right. Mm-hmm. That last song is awesome.
It's fantastic. Oh, best! I gotta say, best ending to a movie in a long time. I mean, if you don't watch nothing else in the Warriors, just watch the ending, them walking off on that beach.
It made
scene.
Me feel like I was given the wrong movie. Like that was the ending I was right. supposed to get to a better movie.
Right. What did they go through?
Yeah. Really good. I like that. All right, let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys, sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Warriors, a road trip movie like Easy Rider or Little Miss Sunshine, only minus vehicles, daytime, and any redeeming qualities whatsoever, except maybe the mime baseball players.
please click more here.
I wonder if there was ever, it would be fun to experiment with crossovers. Like, I'm sick of the baseball furies. I'm going to go work for the mime gang. Well, that means you can't talk anymore. That's all right. I'm willing to give it up. Like, I want to see those kinds of weird infights and stuff.
You got to give up your bet. Now you're going to be fighting with invisible rope.
But don't worry. If you got to get out of there, fake like you're climbing a ladder. All right. And quit talking. All right. Let's see. What else here are we doing? Oh, Brian Dunaway.
Hi. The Warriors, the musical gang movie that forgot to be a musical. Why don't you dickheads just walk all the way home?
And then finally, Brian Ibbett.
the Warriors. They just want to go home. It's like Parcheesi, with each player playing 9 pieces of each color and whacking you with a baseball bat as soon as you come around the corner.
Nice. Very well said. Well, here's what I learned while you thought the orphans were going to be a problem at all. In Warriors' future, all you have to do is point your finger at a dude and claim he did what he, that he did it for the world. What? To just stop, just to assume it must be the truth. What I meant there is David Patrick Kelly. All he had to do was point to the Warriors and say it was them, and that was all it
took.
You
did it. Oh, okay. Well,
the Warriors did it.
His voice, dude. And as also I learned, the clinking of beer bottles makes me want to kill a dude. And finally, it's nice to see public transit still running in this weird dystopia, which I mentioned before, and that's what I learned. Let's get to an email. I got one here from Curtis. Curtis with a K says, hello, Sackers. I would like to suggest the movie Hell Comes to Frogtown as a movie to put your sack on. To put your sack on. Anyway, it isn't on Netflix, but you can still watch the full film on IMDb. What? Oh, weird.
Nice. Yeah, that happens.
What? Now, is that a Hulu thing?
No. Sometimes people just don't, they don't care about the movie so much. Like, whatever. Just put it on YouTube. Whatever. We don't care.
Because isn't Hell Comes to Frogtown, that's another frog movie where they get, the frogs get big.
Right. The frogs get big.
Right. There's big frogs. Really?
Did he mean Amazon Instant Video? Because Amazon Instant.
He might have.
It may be, but no, YouTube probably has this. I mean, they had the whole...
not YouTube. He's saying IMDb.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe he just means the trailer's enough.
Hold on, I'm going to look here. Hell Comes to Frotown. Whoops.
It comes to Frotown.
Okay, let's see what happens here. It's because I know they have a lot of Hulu tie-ins for trailers and stuff.
And they have Amazon tie-ins, too.
Oh, that's true, because they're owned by Amazon. That's a good point.
It is streaming on Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
Amazon,
I think that's what he meant.
Video. Yeah.
That's what he meant. I like that he's confused that IMDb is the same thing. But anyway.
Wow, Roddy Piper. Yeah. RCB plays the poor doofus.
What? Hold on.
I don't know who RCB is. But RCB? I don't know, but character name is the poor doofus.
Cliff Bemis plays Leroy. Maybe they'll just call him Bemis. Yeah, it's giant frogs, I think.
Huh.
I think that's what that movie is. So.
That's what I'm going to say, because it's on the, if you look at the front cover, yes, frogs. And in the name as well, Frogtown.
Well, none of us have seen it, so it seems like it'd be about perfect.
Yep, frogs carrying guns. Look at that.
Maybe it'll come to streaming. We'll see. If not, we'll watch it on Amazon, or maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. Thank you, Curtis, for your recommendations. You're all encouraged to send those in, because we love those. I got a few more Scott Fletcher clips to play. Let's play them real quick. Here's this one right here.
Can you dig it?
Yes, I can dig it. Oh, ass popsicle.
I'll shove that bat up your ass and turn you into a popsicle.
Now, he wasn't reading anything. He was just talking to me when I asked him where our clips were this week, and he got pissed. Here's another one.
The Warriors are good. Real good.
Oh, yeah. And then finally.
Sometimes I can and sometimes I can't. Who gives a damn?
Yeah. All right, Scott Fletcher. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. All right. Let's get out of here. Before we do, next film, Dead Heat.
Ooh.
Dead Heat with Joe Piscopo. And
Jim Belushi and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
Apparently, Kiefer Sutherland is in this. no, there's a lot of confusion about which Dead Heat, and it's not Red Heat either. So Dead Heat, this is the 1988 Joe Piscopo Treat Williams thing.
Treat Williams. I love his name.
Treat.
Treat.
Of what was his TV show that everyone loved?
Seventh Heaven?
Seventh Heaven, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, people liked that. I think it was filmed here or something. There's a lot of local love for it.
Did they do it in the Salt Flats?
It was no, but it was dirt. Oh, you'd think
Everwood
so.
Too.
Maybe that's the one thing.
I loved Everwood.
Yes.
I heard Everwood was good. That's the one. Seventh Heaven. And Everwood, all those things were all on about the same time as that Touched by an Angel thing. There was a weird trend of TV for a while there that was these weird almost like family Michael friendly. Landon's. That's like Michael Landon's ghost was haunting people and saying, "Make more family-oriented television." Because didn't they all kind of have that Little House on the Prairie kind of vibe?
They kind of did have that. One more like the Highway to Heaven kind of vibe.
Highway to Heaven. Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah, there's your Michael Landon.
Is he in that?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, Highway to Heaven. Remember that?
No, I'm thinking of the one with.
I'm on the highway to heaven.
Yeah, you're what?
Wait a minute. I'm really confused now. Is that Brian Williams? No, wait. Brian Wilson. You know when Brian Williams used to sing for AC/DC? No, Brian Williams. Well, who's the guy that sings for AC/DC? Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson. Yeah. You're not singing the AC/DC song.
I was
being funny. He was.
I was
it was
being funny. Implying to be the,
funny
jokes.
The joke. No. Listen. The goal today was to make Brian Ibbett explain himself every time he says something sarcastic.
Funny. Oh, that is funny.
So that was it. The two.
Go to another podcast where they get my jokes.
Where they understand my sense of humor. All right.
I'm out of here.
Dead Heat. Be here next week for that. In the meantime, please visit the site filmsack.com. We have an email address as well. That email address, why isn't that working? Oh, there we go. Email address is filmsack@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter. We're all over the place in there. Filmsack. You can find us individually as well. You can find Randy Deluxe. You can find Mission Deep for Brian Dunaway. You can find Coverville for Brian Ibbett over there. You can find me at Scott Johnson. Leave us a review on iTunes and keep your eye on nerdtacular.com and filmsack.com for updates about Nerdtacular 2013. You'll want to come to N13 and you'll want to see all of us. So please watch for that coming up soon. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Rand. Yep. We'll see you next time.
Can you dig it?
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Bleep you!